Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome along to Writer's Routine. This is the show that takes you through the working day of a successful author to see, very simply, how they get stuff done. And this week, we've got one of the most successful one of the lot on the show. Cecilia Ahern, she published her debut novel, P.S. I Love You, when she was just 21 years old. It became a blockbuster film and she's pretty much published a book a year ever since. And she's back with a short story collection. It's called Raw. So we'll talk about how that started, the very first idea that she had for it, and what it's like writing a short form story when you're used to bashing out 300 plus pages for a novel. Also, we talk about how being successful so young affected the way that she's told stories ever since. And you can find out why, for her, a laptop, it will just never do.
I feel like I'm a very visual writer, and when I'm writing with a pen, I can see the picture. You know, I'm in the room, I'm in the scene that I'm writing, and where if I type, it's very mechanical and it feels like I'm thinking it more as opposed to feeling it. So if the ideas flow so much better when I'm writing with my hands.
So stick around, it's on the way in this week's Writer's Routine. Yes, welcome along. My name's Dan Simpson. Thank you so much for joining me, giving Writer's Routine a download and a play. I'm back in the flat recording here again today, so apologies if you can hear the echo of the woods, the drilling from outside, and the people in South London that just seem to scream all the time about everything. Before we get going, I just want to take a very quick second to remind you, for the whole of November, we're being supported by the fantastic folks over at Scrivener. I genuinely do mean this. I honestly think it is the best writing software out there. I've tried a few over the years, and the reason why I approached Scrivener to help us out on the show is because I love the stuff that they do. It's designed by a writer for writers. It gives you everything that you need to get your story down. It acts as your one-stop shop. It takes the best features from all the other writing softwares that are on the market and sticks them all in one place. And this week, I thought I'd do something a little bit different to me just highlighting how good the software is. I thought I'd let a proper, fully published, actual author who uses Scrivener do the job for me. James Oswald, he's a crime and a thriller writer. He's written 8 books in the Inspector Tony McLean stories. He's back with a different series soon. He'll be on the show to tell us about that in the next few weeks. And he always uses Scrivener to help him tell his tales.
I use Scrivener. I don't use probably more than about 10% of its functionality. It's the most amazing program. But I use it because my books are structured in chapters and scenes. So I use the layout. I've got the title bar, the content bar to one side, with all the scenes lined up one after another, with a little description of what's happening in them, and it just helps me to keep track of what I'm doing as much as anything else, and just makes it really, really easy to move stuff around. If something's happened too early I can move it down to a later chapter, or I can move scenes back to earlier chapters, and it just helps me to organise my thoughts. It works well with the way that I write.
As I say, James will be on this show in the next couple of weeks to tell us more about his working day. But there you go. I can't really be clearer to you, can I? he explains perfectly just how much Scrivener can help your writing. It's got everything you need in one place. A corkboard, it's got a way to formulate your ideas, a place to plot, a place to plan, and it's really easy to keep track of the things that you're writing about, to make notes. It helps you make changes as well. And the best part is, for the rest of November, you can get 20% off Scrivener when you use the code ROUTINE over at literatureandlatte.com. Just Google Scrivener. The first thing will take you to where you need to go. If you head there now, you can even get a free trial of it, so you can download it, have a play around, see that I'm right. When you've used it, when you know how brilliant it is, when you want to buy it, use the code ROUTINE over at literatureandlatte.com and you'll get 20% off Scrivener. Right. This week, our guest sharing her writer's routine, it's Cecilia Ahern, just an incredibly successful author. I'm so pleased that we've managed to find time while she's over here in England to get the story of her story. Cecilia, she's been publishing pretty much non-stop since she was 21, when her debut PS I Love You, it took off. It became a huge film starring Hilary Swank and Gerard Butler. And her new book, Raw, it features 30 stories about 30 different women. Now, we talk about why a screenwriting meeting in LA gave her the idea for the book and why she wanted to tell the stories of women who she often feels are left out. Also, we chat about why she needs to leave her house to go to work, why she does that, how she gets through writer's block, and what happens when her characters take over. Also, you can get some handy tips on why it's always good to have a Jo Malone candle knocking around nearby. Speaking of tips, we'll get a top writing tip as well that may change the way you work forever. It's from some publishers today, so maybe that'll help you with some inside knowledge in finally getting the story that you're writing out there. That's on the way after the first part of our chat with Cecilia Ahern. And as always, we start with the place where she sits down to write.
So I have an office outside of my home, and it's, I have a desk. I have all of my books, and I have some art that I really, really love from my favourite sculptor, Irish sculptor Orla Debris. So I have all the things that I love, and a Jo Malone candle, which I always liked when I'm writing.
And an office outside of your home?
Yeah.
What, why is, has that always been the way?
No, when I had children, I decided to separate life from work, which has become, which was a really good idea, actually, because it means when I close the door at night, you know, at six o'clock when I'm, or 5 o'clock when I'm finished work, that's it. I leave the story and I go home and I have life. So nothing is meshing and, you know, overlapping. It just means that I can create in my creative space and I can live in my home, livy place.
And what's on the desk then? You say you've got your Jo Malone candle.
Yeah, I write longhand. So I have a just a normal notebook and a blue pen. I do like to write with a blue pen, a Bic specifically. And then I write a chapter and I transcribe, you know, I'll write maybe one chapter or a few and then I'll transcribe a couple of chapters, and that immediately becomes my second, my edit, my first, my second draft.
Why is that the case? Why are you, why have you not just immediately moved over to typing away on a laptop? Why are you still persisting with the longhand? Is it something about, does it keep you kind of in tune with what you're writing, do you think?
Yeah, I actually love physically writing. I love the flow of pen on paper. I feel like I'm a very visual writer, and when I'm writing with a pen, I can see the picture. You know, I'm in the room, I'm in the scene that I'm writing. And where if I type, it's very mechanical, and it feels like I'm thinking it more as opposed to feeling it. So if the ideas flow so much better when I'm writing with my hands.
And then you say that you, when you transcribe, then that's kind of your first edit done.
That's it, yeah.
How is the editing process for you? Is it tightened up at all?
Yeah, well, I've been working with my editor, Lynn Drew, for 13 of those books. So we really have, we have a really nice thing going on where we really understand each other and how we work. I suppose what I do is I'll write my first draft and then I edit before I send it to my publisher. She'll give me, I always do the same things. I always rush the ending. You know, she always says the same things for every novel. But for me, I'm just kind of, as soon as I start a story, I can't wait to tell the story. I want to finish the story. So I do write it in a big rush and it comes spilling out really quickly. And then my edits with her, I suppose, is slowing it down, being a bit more thoughtful, paying more attention to the detail, picking up a character that I may have introduced and then forgot halfway along the way. Yeah, so we'll do, you know, we'll do a kind of a broader edit and then then narrow it down, then we've got our copy edit and proofread. Yeah, there's a couple of different drafts that come after that.
So you're telling me about issues that you know you have while you write.
Yeah.
If you can tell me, surely you're conscious of these while you're writing. Do you ever find yourself halfway through when you're writing it down longhand thinking, oh, hang on, I know that I'm going to be flagged up to make this longer, to draw it out a bit. Is that something that goes on?
But it's not important, I think, because it's so important to get the first draft down. A lot of people think, you know, it has to be perfect in the first draft. And it's not. For me, it's about getting the story down and seeing if it works, seeing how it grows, and just going with the flow. And also, I don't know, there's this kind of flurry and this excitement to tell a story that I have to do it very quickly first time round. And I know my process now. I know that you have other attempts to improve it and make it better. And I write first with the heart and then second with the head. And that's my style. And it has worked, so I'm not going to... I think if you start over-analyzing, you know, if I'm in the middle of a book and I think, oh no, I've written this scene too quickly... I mean, my editor is not a teacher. I'm not going to get into trouble. It's just pointing out to assist and suggest and help. So, it's nothing to be worried about that I write it too quickly.
So the show is called Writer's Routine, then. Yeah. Tell me about yours. From the moment you wake up to the moment you go back to bed on a day when you are writing, leave no tedious stone unturned. Something that you may think is boring, I promise you isn't. So just bow on with it.
Well, mine is very structured, you know, because I publish every autumn. So I start writing in January. It's due at the end of May. I edit for the summer and then it's published in the autumn. So that overall, it's very structured. And then when I'm writing, I usually write about 4 days a week, probably Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Because I'm quite intense, I do like the Wednesday to do other things. I'm probably at my office by 9:15. I like to have a cup of tea and light a candle. And really, it's just about writing. You know, I think the mornings are sometimes slow. It takes a while to warm up my brain. And the afternoons can be, you know, as it's getting closer to 5 or 5:30, it can be, oh, I don't have enough time, but I wasted 2 or 3 in that morning. So, but, you know, as a writer, every day is different. Some days that you could just be doing so many emails and phone calls and things like that, either interviews or, you know, with lovely publishers. And other days, it's just about the writing. So I think every day is different, but it's most important to try and focus on the writing. To be more specific, because that's what you want, every time I write, I will write a chapter. So I will never begin a chapter and put the pen down without finishing and leave the office. So I'll write a chapter in each sitting, which could take 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And then I could spend another week just fixing up that chapter, but each time I sit down to write, I write a chapter. It must have its own beginning, middle, and end. And when that's complete, it's complete. You know, sometimes it could be a page, sometimes it could be just one thought, you know, and then you move on to the next one. But I don't know. I don't go by word count. I suppose in early years, if I ever encountered any kind of writer's block, and I was working at home, I would step away from it and start, you know, emptying the dishwasher or do the washing or something, or do something where I'm concentrating what I'm doing, but at the back of my mind, I'm always thinking of something else. And I've stopped that because I now have an office. Now I realize that you have to write through that moment and not panic about it and not think that no idea will ever come. Sometimes you have to write what's wrong to get to what's right. So it's just... sometimes just a really long lead up to getting to the right part of the story. And I realized a moment like that writer's block will hit me when I know where I want to go. I don't know how to get there. And now my trick is to just get straight to the bit that I know, you know, write the part that I know. And that's what's supposed to come next. That bit that I'm trying to find to pad it out and bridge it is not necessary. So I figured that over the last couple of years, that whenever I get to that blank bit, there is nothing, because there's nothing there. I just need to get to the bit that I know.
It's interesting, you were saying early on, before you had your office, you could take time away if you needed to kind of get things going. You could occupy yourself by, I don't know, doing a bit of housework or something like that. Is it a little bit of a drawback to having an office, the fact that you don't have that release now?
No, I think it makes me far more focused. And that was the one thing my editor said after having my first child, that time is limited, you know, and I'm working in a different way. I used to work all night before. I used to write all night and sleep half the day, and that's not, you can't do that. You need to have a life. So it just means that I go to work and I'm far more focused. I get to say what I want to say quicker than I ever did before. So there's no, you know, floating around and being distracted. I really just have to get straight to the work.
So your new book is Raw.
Yes.
Tell me about the first moment that the idea for this story came into your head.
Oh, okay. So it was about 8 years ago, I was having a meeting with a TV casting agent in LA, and we were talking about demographics. And she was explaining to me why my books were particularly popular for TV in their world. And she was telling me about, well, you know, the networks really like stories about 30-something-year-old because they advertisers really want to target at those people. And it was a very depressing meeting where I think I don't write for any of those reasons. You know, obviously they like the stories too. That wasn't just the age group. But I said to her, well, what about women over 55? And she said, oh, no, we don't cater for women over 55. There is no TV demographic. And I just came away from that thinking, well, not only do women feel, as they're getting older, that they're invisible. But I was just sitting in a meeting where I was told they're not being catered for, they're not being thought of, they're not being targeted at, they're not hiring actors of 55 because they're not starring actors of 55. And that inspired the first story, which was The Woman Who Slowly Disappears, which is about a woman who, as she ages, she's disappearing because she feels society doesn't value her, thinks she's relevant, doesn't see her, and as a result, her body is reacting. And I was on a holiday, a family holiday in Kerry, and my kids were very young, and I needed a timeout. So I grabbed a pen and a piece of paper, and I walked down to the sea, sat on a bench, and I wrote that story. So I don't know what that said about me at the time. Maybe I was telling myself, don't disappear here, you know, don't become invisible. But that's, it was kind of slowly over a few years, just this idea that not only do women feel like they're invisible, and not just women, actually, but, you know, elderly, we often say they're the invisible people in society because they feel like they're invisible. So that was it. It was bubbling in my head for quite a while.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
More from Cecilia Ahern in just a sec, and we've got a top writing tip that may change the way you work forever on the way next. Very quickly, though, I'd love to say hello to Anne Harrison Barnes. She's an author, and she got in touch with us over at writersroutine.com, and she just sent a lovely message all about our episode with Ian Rankin. She said that she doesn't know what it was about the interview, but that it added fuel to her creative fire. And that the night that she listened to it, she wrote over 1,000 words in her NaNoWriMo. It took me 2 attempts to get that right. NaNoWriMo novel. That's the National November Writing Month, which is perfect. Anne, I'm so glad that the work we're doing is helping you out with your work. Now, if you've enjoyed anything that you've heard so far on the show, if any of the chats that we've had with some of the biggest authors around, Ian Rankin, Gabriel Tallent, Karen Slaughter, if any of the tips that you've got from those have helped you out, I'd love to hear about it. Now, the best way that you can let me know is by leaving a review for us over on the iTunes podcast store. Find Writer's Routine on there. And if you can, I'd love you to leave 5 stars and drop your name as well so I can say hello just like I have to Anne in the next few weeks. It's the best way to help us out, aside from grabbing a copy of Scrivener, by the way. Head over to the iTunes podcast store and leave Writer's Routine a review. It's time to get a writing tip that may change the way you work forever. This is where we grab a quick extra minute with guests that have been on the show in the past, and then we ask them, perhaps, what might be the most important question. What's the one thing that you could tell someone that could make their working day easier? Now, this week, it's the turn of two publishers. They've co-written a book all about how history's most remarkable women would have solved 21st century issues.
Hi, I'm Beth Coates. With my co-author, I've written a book called What Would Boudicca Do? Everyday Problems Solved by History's Most Remarkable Women. So my writing tip is to get away from your desk, get away from your piece of paper, go outside, take a walk, breathe in the fresh air, try to go somewhere that's green or has a river, i.e. not the streets of the city, if you can, find a park, and that I find always clears my head and sets off a new train of thought.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Foley, and with my co-author Beth Coates, I have written What Would Boudicca Do? Everyday Problems Solved by History's Most Remarkable Women. And my writing tip would be to make sure that you get something down as a first rough draft. And the way that I do that for myself is to set myself a time limit to say, okay, I've got an hour and I have to come out of that hour with some words on the page. And I think that can start you off. It's always easier to edit something that exists and make something that exists better than to create something from nothing.
Now you can catch up with the whole interview with Elizabeth and Beth that was on last week's show. And you can get details all about their brand new book. It's called What Would Boudicca Do? You can find that wherever you get your podcasts from. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Radio Public, Spotify, and it's over at writersroutine.com. Let's get back to it then. The second part of our interview with this week's guest, Cecilia Ahern, one of the most successful authors working today. She's pretty much written a book a year since she was 21, when her debut novel, P.S. I Love You, took the world by storm. It became a massive movie. She's also written screenplays. She created the series Samantha Who over in America. And she's back with a brand new book. It's called Raw. It features 30 stories about 30 women. And we start the second half picking up on that. Short stories. How does someone that focuses most of her creative attention on novels and writes out 300 plus pages of them start with writing a short story? How does she begin? What's the difference?
I feel these are like a snapshot of a moment in my character's life when they're going through this transitional pivotal moment and they're assessing their life and they're thinking, I got me here, now I need to get me out of here, you know. And because of the theme of the stories and the way that they're written, you know, they're 4 or 5 pages and that's it. The, you know, problem is assessed, problem is kind of solved, and it's a lovely empowering moment at the end. I decided, I suppose, when I realised they were a collection, I decided to not name the characters. It all became, every title is The Woman Who, and I decided after about 5 or 6 stories that I wanted to keep them nameless because they're every woman. You know, if I had been writing them not as a collection, I probably would have given them names, so that changed that. But I felt, you know, some people say short stories are very difficult to write, but because of the theme of these stories and the concept and the kind of surreal nature of them, and because every title and every story is taken from a metaphor or a phrase or an idiom that we know, and I've just made it literal, it just meant that they were endless. You know, everywhere I looked, it was ripe for material. Every time I saw somebody, I thought, oh, the woman who does this, the woman who does that. And it was about trying to stop myself from writing them. But it became, it was addictive, and it was like it was so much fun breaking all the rules of writing in a way. And just summing up a moment. And after I wrote the story, I felt like, you know, it just felt like really good therapy for me. So that's how I can sum up. That's the difference between, you know, the novel is a longer commitment. Obviously, you're going into backstory and you're looking for ways that the story can grow roots and how other characters can grow and how many other kind of mini stories can you introduce into that novel? This was about paring it back and just making it simple on the surface, deeper at its heart. And yeah, it was fun. I had so much fun.
So when you're writing a full-blown novel, say 450 pages, how much are you planning that? How much do you know about each chapter? How thoroughly are you thinking through your characters? Or are you just letting things happen? What do you know about your story before you put it down?
It's a mixture of both. It's a mixture of planning a lot and then just going with the flow when you're writing. I wouldn't have a chapter-by-chapter synopsis, but I would definitely know kind of the whole arc of the story. And I always know my ending. Not the exact scene, perhaps, but I know what the resolution's going to be and the feel and the tone of it. So I would before I even put pen to paper to write chapter one, I would be writing out quite a lot, a summary of the story. And as I do that, it grows and grows and grows. I'm always looking for ways for each character to grow. What more can they bring to a story? The way I work, I always come up with a plot first. So it's kind of the overall concept and then the character. And then I think, what kind of character would find themselves in that position? And then that, I suppose, the character feeds the story, and then the story feeds the character, and then they just grow together. But a lot of the best parts of a book are the bits that you haven't planned, that just happen on that moment when you light your candle and put pen to page. And, you know, I think, I wasn't expecting to write that, but that is my favourite passage from the book. So you have to be both. There has to be, you definitely have to plan, but then you have to be prepared to let a story grow. Go wherever it wants to go itself.
And how much license do you give yourself to let it grow? If you find possibly one of your characters doing their own thing, he's taking the story off on a turn that you didn't expect, do you completely let yourself roll with that? Or do you think, hang on a sec, buddy, let's just rein it in for 2 seconds?
No, I think you have to let it happen, because sometimes, you know, when you're plotting out a novel from the beginning, you think, oh, the character will probably be ready by this stage for this incident to happen to them. And then you get to that point and they're not, you know, it makes more sense to go in a different direction, or something else needs to happen before you get there. So you have to be free, but also not too much so, in that you kind of lose your way. It's a bit of both. It's impossible to really, you know, and every book is different. You know, there's no kind of formula that you can follow. You just have to really try to keep it sensible, but also let it be free. Well, I don't write romantic novels, and that's the fun bit to talk about. Out of 15, I've probably written 6 romantic novels. But the perception is that I write romantic novels. Some of them, but I do write about love. So some of them can be, you know, relationships between family. You know, The Marble Collector is about a father and a daughter. There was no romantic love story there. Flawed and Perfect were kind of thriller stories. But I will always have love as a really important element of the story. I think what's important for me when I'm writing is I want to have a really clever concept, you know, something smart that's never been done before. But I also want to be a storyteller. You know, I did this event with John Boyne the other day, and he said, you know, he's a brilliant Irish writer, and he said, I don't want to hear that one of my books was just beautifully written. You know, you want... It's nice that it's beautifully written, but you want to have a really good story as well, like that you were a great storyteller. And that's important to me, to have a clever story that's unique with a different perspective on something. And I don't, sorry readers, but I don't write for readers. I write for myself. And I think it's really important to give the reader something that they didn't know they wanted. So it's not about feeding a market. It's really about writing for yourself. Try to be surprising, try to challenge yourself, try to be different. And I suppose when I finish one book, I always want to go in another direction with the next book. I don't ever want to write the same novel again and again. I want it to be moving. And I do like to balance it with some sort of humor or whimsy or something unique.
Your debut novel, P.S. I Love You, is made into a film. It sells millions of copies. How do you think that affects the way the next 14 books are told? It's not every day that a debut author's, as I say, debut is so successful. Do you think that affected the way that you told your stories?
It gave me a huge amount of confidence at a very young age. So I was 21 when I wrote P.S. I Love You. And the movie deal was done at the same time as the book deal. So before it was even published, it was already an amazing beginning to a career. And I think you know, one of two things could have happened. I could have totally freaked out, not been able to deliver. But I just took it as such encouragement that, you know, I do have a talent, and the way I'm going to deal with this is by sitting down and writing the next one. And how am I going to deal with that? By sitting down and writing the next one. You know, every single time I published a book, I just got more encouragement and more confidence in myself. So I used it to the best, to my best advantage. It was an amazing opportunity at such a young age that I wanted to take in the best way possible and make the best of it.
Do you think seeing your story and your characters on the big screen played by actors that we all know, and possibly tweaked here and there, did that change the way that you thought about stories in the future?
No, I suppose when I wrote P.S. I Love You, I wasn't thinking of it being a movie at all. And so I became quite stubborn in that was the way I was going to continue to write. I'm not writing a book to become a movie. I'm writing a novel. You know, I want to tell a story. And if anybody finds it appropriate, you know, if anyone wants to adapt it, then that's great. That's a bonus, because it helps the book, gets a lot more awareness out there, introduces it to a wider audience. But it's not why I write, you know, and not every book is going to be appropriate for film. But I do know that I'm a visual writer, and that's why P.S. I Love You, that's why producers are, you know, attracted to my stories. They say they can see the stories as they're reading them. But the movie hasn't made me like that. That is what has made the movies, if that makes sense. So I certainly wouldn't ever change anything to just make it become a movie.
So that is it for this week's Writer's Routine. Massive thank you to Cecilia Ahern for sparing the time to chat to us. You can find all the details about her brand new book, Raw. It's over at writersroutine.com. And remember, we've teamed up with the Writers Block Virtual Book Festival to give you the chance to win $2,000 worth of book marketing prizes. You'll get a book trailer made, you'll get help from editors, you'll get reviews from book YouTubers, and you'll even get an interview with me on this very podcast, so you can tell me and us and everyone that's listening how you wrote your story. If you want to get involved, if you want to enter, find out more, search for The Novelette on Twitter. The Novelette. Find her on Twitter. She'll give you all the details. And while you're on Twitter, by the way, give us a follow if you fancy. We are at WritersPod on there. You can find us on Instagram too for daily motivational quotes to help you through with your work. And remember, if you do want to help out the show, head over to literatureandlatte.com and you'll get 20% off Scrivener, which I genuinely think is the best writing software out there. I promise it'll make your working day easier. Use the code ROUTINE, ROUTINE. You'll help us out and you'll help your own work out too. And we're back next week. I'll see you then. We've got a really deep, thoughtful chat with Ben Schott off of Schott's Almanac and Miscellany. And he's talking about his brand new book. It's a pastiche to P.G. Wodehouse. And I love Wodehouse. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you then with Ben Schott next week on Writer's Routine.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.